It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
It's been a long time since you last heard from us, but we are back. It's not playing with Lex.
Oh, I know this.
You do.
I know Line. This. Dan. Yes, Dan. Yes, yes. I remember this show.
Yeah. Not playing with Lex and Dan. This is the show where we watch
movies. Yes, movies. Yes, I'm on top of it.
Everyone else has seen, but you and I haven't seen. In this case, it's a movie that you have seen, but that I have not.
Correct. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie, and I'm so excited that you're here to share this with me.
I only just discovered that Robert Redford was in it because he showed up in the freeze frame, and briefly, my brain said the name Harrison Ford, but I knew who I meant, Robert Redford.
That's good. That's good. I mean, those two guys are both great. Love them both. Don't get
my
confused,
mom, though. My mom has crushes on both of them.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
That's probably why I confuse them.
My mom just has a crush on Colin Firth, so, which is understandable. British charming, you know.
I had it on Colin Second, but I have a terrible lisp.
Letting it go. Letting go.
So the movie is Sneakers. And I would have sworn, like, I know nothing. I would have sworn.
You thought it was about shoes? You thought it was about shoes?
No, I thought it was Angelina Jolie. And I can't imagine Robert Redford and Angelina Jolie in the same movie.
I can now, and it's really not a great movie.
Was she in some other movie about hackers?
She's in a movie
like
called
Hackers?
Hackers, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
and
I
believe Johnny Lee Miller,
yes.
More recently known as Sherlock Holmes on Elementary, is also in that movie.
You know, Johnny Lee Miller's best role was Eli Stone in between those two things.
I am familiar with that show. He played a lawyer with like a brain tumor or something, right?
Right, where he kept. Well,
he didn't know if it was
divine intervention,
right.
And right. He saw many things as musicals.
I hate to be the one to disappoint you, but we're not watching Hackers tonight.
Okay, we're watching Sneakers.
We
and
are.
So, given that it has Harrison, God damn it!
Oh, cut.
Given that it has an old actor in it. Robert Redford, I know nothing about it. Like, that was, it is news to me that.
I'm
that
sorry,
Robert
given
Redford
that it has an old actor in it, you don't know
no,
anything
given
about
that
it?
I had no idea that Robert Redford was in it, so
okay.
I know nothing of this movie. I
Great.
Thought it was going to be Angelina Jolie and, like, virtual reality hacking
I would,
scenes where
I,
it's idiotic.
Let me tell you something. I would not make you watch that movie.
I appreciate that. I think I've even seen it.
I don't think I have, or at least I've definitely seen parts of it. I don't think I've seen the whole thing from start to finish.
Because
I think I recall it's idiotic.
So what I guess I'm fearful of, only because of Hackers,
uh-huh,
is scenes of terrible computing. Like,
great,
I'm hacking into the mainframe, that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, and I mean you should rightfully be afraid of those things in general. I don't think that it's specific necessarily. That's a problem.
I'm also
here.
Afraid of boogeymen
and ghosts,
yeah,
and sheets with holes cut in them.
Yeah,
and
you know,
regular sheets.
What did the mommy ghost say to her child when they got into the car? Fasten your sheet belt.
I was gonna go with buckle up.
That's better, frankly. People come for this to this podcast for the jokes, so
God help them.
So the great thing, well, one of many great things apparently about Sneakers is that it's available on Netflix, and so you can watch right along with us. Dan and I watched the Universal logo fade out and then waited one more second
just for good measure
and paused with 2:04:56 remaining.
All right, that's pretty good.
Is there anything you don't want to tell me anything before we go in, but
no,
I want to confirm. Do you like this movie? Is this like you want
this
me to
is,
see it because I should see it or because it's a great movie?
Both. It is one of my favorites. In fact,
wow.
As you did with Glengarry Glen Ross the other week, I watched this just a couple weeks ago. So I'm au courant, as they say, with a movie that is from 1992.
Is it the kind of movie where you don't mind that you're watching again, or it's like, oh, I got to sit through this whole thing?
Oh,
again?
No. I love this movie. I was watching it with a friend who had not seen it, and I kept laughing in anticipation of things, which I will try not to do tonight because I realize that can sometimes
be
annoying.
It's a comedy?
There are funny elements. All right, not saying anymore. Not saying anymore. We're going to get going here.
I had no idea.
All right. Well, see, I feel like I've said too much.
Okay.
All right. So, queued up as we are, as my dear friend Lex just said. Why don't you count us in, Lex?
All right. Well, we usually count down, right?
I said in. You can go either direction. Go count down, though. That's great. Do that.
All right. So you're going to press play in 3, 2, 1.
Lex, it's that time.
Hey, what time is it?
It's the time that I tell you that you have now seen Sneakers.
Indeed I have, Dan. Indeed I have.
And I am looking forward to hearing what you thought.
Well, I'll say right away that, as you know, before we watched, I had a little bit of Robert Redford, Harrison Ford confusion.
Yeah.
And the recommended title from Netflix is now to go watch Harrison Ford in Patriot Games.
Or so is it Robert Redford?
It's one of those guys. So I liked it. I thought it was enjoyable and charming. It was nothing at all like what I expected. I think I would grade it somewhere around a solid B.
A solid B, he says. Okay. All right. Okay. That's.
I feel guilty saying it because I know it's one of your favorite films.
I
enjoyed it a lot.
Sure. I'm not calling it a film that is necessarily, you know, a test, you know, a film that will stand the trial of the ages and be regarded as one of the best films ever. But I do find it one of the films that I enjoy the most. And I think gotcha. That's because of a combination of factors, including the fact that it's a very amusing movie.
It is, yes.
It's got a great cast. It's got some really solid writing. And obviously it deals with like technology stuff, which is an interest of mine. And I feel like the science in here, while not perfect, is actually pretty good, and it does raise, you know, interesting ethical questions. And in today's environment, it feels like a very relevant movie to me.
Yeah, you know, I would say that what I liked about it were, I mean, it's Robert Redford always does a nice job. I thought that Sidney Poitier was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy watching Dan Aykroyd, although, as I said while we were watching it, he's definitely playing that one Dan Aykroyd character.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot for him to go on here. He's just sort of a conspiracy theorist, weird and crazy guy.
Right, right. And so I enjoyed, I guess... Where I didn't give it all the way to, you know, a solid A is because of things like the female lead character seems a bit trite.
Yeah, it's not cliched. It's not a movie for strong female. I like her as a character, but she doesn't get the most. It's not a very strong female role, and there aren't a lot of strong female roles in this movie. So I hear you there.
And I don't know. It's I liked it. I thought I would say it holds up surprisingly well, given, you know, that it's focused on sure. technology. You think it could get really dated really quickly. But in my experience, and you and I talked about this a bit during our watching, there's a lot of social engineering happening. And obviously, you know, there's a bit of what I guess would later or prior, depending on which version of the movie we're talking about, like, you know, the heists have that same vibe as the George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11 and its sequels, you know, where everything goes right, but you fear it's going to go wrong at any second nonstop.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the ingredients to a successful heist movie.
Right. But the ongoing kind of social aspects to it, where it's just deception and trickery, that I thought worked pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those are the time-honored techniques. I mean, I read several years ago, I read the book by Kevin Mitnick, the hacker yeah. from MIT, which is all about social engineering, basically, which is essentially what they do here, which is just, you know, the weakest point of many systems is people. And so they spend their time trying to figure out how to exploit people rather than trying to figure out how to break the technology. And I think that's you're right. It totally holds up better because of that. They don't focus too much. Like, there's so much stuff in a today's heist movie where they'd be doing like, I'm hacking, like we talked about at the beginning, I'm hacking the system. I name it. I'm changing everything. I'm done. And in this one, it shows a little more of the elbow grease that goes into it. And I think that the stuff that's interesting for me from a technological perspective is, again, that the idea of the math here is fundamentally sound, which is to say that most encryption relies on this sort of multiplying very big prime numbers, and the fact that it's really easy to multiply two big prime numbers, and it's really hard to then take that number and figure out what those original two numbers that you multiplied were. And that if you could, in theory, find a shortcut for that, it would really screw a lot of the encryption that we use so much more, even so now, than, you know, in 1992. I mean, you look at the technology stuff was from the Heartbleed thing from like 6 months ago or so. Like, right. And that was kind of, you know, it was a different fundamental flaw. But you look at how much everybody freaked out over it, and it's like, well, yeah, we all rely on this one particular type of system, and if that becomes compromised, we're kind of screwed. So I think there's something interesting there. I think there's something interesting in Cosmo's, you know, obviously it seems a little cliche and trite at this point in 2014 to talk about how important information is as opposed to all your traditional like forms of power and money and so on.
Right.
But like, you know, at the time, certainly that was, I think, probably a bit more of a bolder statement.
I can see that. And, you know, I think that the movie does a, I guess, an early 90s-esque take on what it all means and what, right, what it means to have all this technology and security and everything else. So, I mean, I think, again, to your point, that it, that is an area that does feel not even dated, but I guess just less novel than they were probably, sure, expecting it would feel back then, or that it did feel back then. But I thought that the pacing was good and the scripting was good. And I guess it's really just a victim of time passing, that not that the technology or whatever was frustrating, but just that the plotting and development itself, there was very little that was super surprising. You know, it kind of followed the exact storyline elements you would expect for this story overall.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I can sympathize that the person I was watching with a couple weeks ago, you know, like a third of the way through the movie turns to me and goes like, the bad guy is like the guy, his friend from college, right?
Right.
And I was like, I'm not going to say anything, because, you know, I agree. You know, there's certainly, it's hard to not telegraph that, especially, again, we've spent so much time watching movies. And, you know, once you sort of understand story structure, you can generally predict a lot of these things. It's impressive when a movie does do a good job of surprising you. But I also find it, you know, most movie plots, because they adhere to a certain type of formula or a certain structure, you know, a lot of times that's going to be predictable to a certain extent. I still find it delightful. Just, I really love the writing. I feel like there are so many good lines in this movie that I always think to myself. So I really enjoy all of the dialogue.
What's an example of one that you think to yourself?
I think to myself, oh geez, there's so many. I really enjoy Sidney Poitier's at the end. Did I ever tell you why I had to leave the CIA? Because of my temper.
Poitier is really good, and I guess I'm aware of who River Phoenix is, mm-hmm, but I couldn't say that I recognize anything. I thought he does a nice job, and yeah, again, a kind of rote or stock character to a,
sure,
large degree.
He's kind of a side character here. The other thing that I really knew him from, and again, it's a very short role, is he appears in the third Indiana Jones movie as young Indiana Jones in like that 10-minute like little prequel part where he's, uh-huh, a kid. So like that's what I knew him from. And I really enjoy, I don't know, there's lots of great little one-liners. You know, remember, go real slow. I enjoy all the interplay between Dan Aykroyd and Sidney Poitier over the, yes, conspiracy theories. The whole scene where Robert Redford has to break into the office and then the scientist's lover catches him, and
yes,
the guys have to feed him
lines,
answers. So
that's
good.
Pretty great.
So good. I'll give you a, yeah, really good reason. I'll give you a good reason. It's just what she'd want you to do. Because they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants, and I enjoy that part of it. It feels very improvisational. And you know, Robert Redford has so much charm and charisma that he can easily carry a movie like this without, you know, it's he's kind of like doesn't seem to break a sweat really, but I kind of feel like I really enjoy him in this movie.
Yeah, no, he's quite entertaining. I mean, he's pretty much always entertaining. But yeah, I certainly felt that he was a charmer in this one. And yeah, I liked what he did. And you know, it kind of, you know, the movie opens where they're clearly pulling off a heist and there's lots of clever technical things going on and then some social things going on, and then you find out that they're, you know, white hat security flaw exposers. And I thought that it set everybody up nicely and that they did a nice job with identifying here's who the characters are and their levels of talent, and you know, you've got the backstory and all that. It's very smartly written.
It's just very, it's very tight, I feel like, as movies go, and there's not a lot of extraneous stuff. And you know, again, like I said, this is not necessarily a movie that's going to be like, you know, hailed as one of the greatest movies of all time, but it's one that I really enjoy watching for the most part. And I did not know before this, but David Strathairn, who plays Whistler, this is the first movie I remember seeing him in, but I've seen him in a bunch of stuff since then. I think most famously, did you ever see George Clooney's Good Night and Good Luck?
I have not seen it all the way through.
He plays the main character in that. He plays, Edward
R. Murrow.
Yeah, Edward Murrow. So he's really good in that. He's been in a bunch of stuff though. He's one of those actors who pops up in lots of things, kind of in the background sometimes. And I always really enjoy his work. I think he's a really good actor. I'm really enjoying. I was looking at the reviews on Netflix. Just happened to be scrolling down. I like that this guy's like, I like the cast, but not the story. Whoever did the effects for computers had no knowledge of the subject, which is a problem for me. For example, when the black box is describing the text, the characters on the screen morph from squiggly lines into characters. And yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, again, you have to kind of shortcut this for, you know, movie audiences. So
right.
I get that. I'm willing to give them a pass on that one. But he continues, which is my favorite. Also, the story was not very moral. Here you have people who are liberal stealing money by hacking into banks from conservative groups and individuals to give via anonymous donation large amounts of money while calling themselves good guys.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, it does. It bothers me, although it doesn't bother me enough to ruin my experience of enjoying the film. But, you know, you see the characters decrypting themselves or de-gibberishing themselves. Like you say, it's a film shortcut, but I don't know.
I mean,
I hate that stuff.
I know, but the real thing is so boring. Like, you know, I understand exactly why you do it. Like, you know, maybe in a book you can explain these things. If you're a really good writer, you can come up with a way to explain it that's interesting.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like, again, since the fundamental underpinnings I feel like are secure, I'm kind of willing to give them a pass on the execution within the movie because there's an expediency and efficiency and economy to that. So it doesn't, even as someone who is a technology person, it generally doesn't bother me that much in this movie. But I agree that there are plenty of movies. If there is one thing, they do use the trope in this movie, which drives me nuts, which is the zoom in and enhance, which is, you know, possible to a certain degree, but it's often well overused.
Wait, did they do that in this film?
Yeah, they did it for the license plate. Like, again, not a place where it really was such a huge deal. That it ruined the enjoyment of the film. But, you know, it is one of those tropes that comes up time and time again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's annoying. Not as bad as, have you ever seen the movie Enemy of the State with Will Smith?
Yes.
That has my favorite bit, which is where he's like carrying a bag in a store and they're like, can you rotate the camera 180 degrees around?
Right.
And he's like, can it do that? It can hypothesize. It's like, no, it can't. You don't have that. It's on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
There are worse movies for technology. Let's put it that way.
I will say, by the way, I checked as the credits started to roll, and yes, what you and I thought was the clock tower from Back to the Future was indeed the clock tower.
That's excellent. From Back to the Future. I learned that, you know, I did not think about that until this time as we're watching it. I will say that if I have to pick a weak actor in this movie, it might be Ben Kingsley, but I still find him delightful because he's just chewing scenery the whole time. Like, I find that he's delightfully overacting in this movie, especially with this terrible attempt at a new. You live in New Jersey. Is that a New Jersey accent? It's terrible. Whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
His accent is terrible. The guy cast as young Ben Kingsley is terrible as young Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, but they're like equally terrible at least. So it's like plausible that that's the same guy.
Right.
I just every time I see Ben Kingsley, I always think Marty. Disaster.
It's very weird. It would have been better had he just not done anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think he just sort of gone with his straight up, he's got like a British accent, right? Like, he just stick with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I really enjoyed the, I was looking at the Wikipedia article. Apparently the writers first conceived of it while doing research for War Games. In early drafts, the character of Liz was a bank employee rather than Martin's ex-girlfriend.
Interesting.
At one point during the project, Phil Alden Robinson received a visit from men claiming to be representatives of the Office of Naval Intelligence, who indicated that for reasons of national security, the film could not include any references to, quote, a handheld device that can decode codes, unquote. Robinson was highly concerned, as such a device was key to the film's plot, but after consulting with a lawyer from the film studio, he realized that the visit had been a prank instigated by a member of the cast, possibly Aykroyd or Redford.
And I know... So Stephen Tobolowsky is also a writer, and I have read various reminiscences of his on Slate about Groundhog Day, mm-hmm. and I see that he has written extensively about Sneakers as well, so now I can finally read it.
Yeah, they quote it in the Wikipedia article too, in which he says, I can't remember having so much fun on a movie. So yeah, That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it would be more fun than ground hockey, but whatever.
I played with my food. I made up lines, including the one about pounding chicken breasts in the kitchen during our second date.
Nice. So I thought it was good. Good, but not great. But I really definitely enjoyed myself and was glad to get to watch it with you.
I'm glad. It's a movie that I really enjoy, and I do feel like it's a movie that I can watch fairly frequently. I first saw this, actually, I want to say, probably not long after it came out on video in camp. And I was taking a class, like an electronics lab class at camp, where it was like doing like minor, you know, soldering and making little, you know, electronic gizmos or something like that. And I remember we had one day where I guess, you know, we just sat down and watched this movie and I loved it. And probably at like, I don't know, 13, 14, somewhere in there. I've been watching this movie for like 20 years.
That's pretty good.
So it holds up for me. So I'm glad that you at least enjoyed it. I'll take a B from you. That feels like high praise.
Well, there you go.
I'm just saying, like, there haven't been, you know, you're a tough audience to please. I feel like there haven't been a lot of A's from you given out over the course of our podcast.
I would give Hudson Hawk an A.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I have to recalibrate entirely now.
So I want to think about, where are we in the season?
Well,
is next week the final episode of the season, or do I pick another one?
I'm really glad that you asked that, especially if you give me enough time to actually look this up. I believe next week is, in fact, our last episode of the season.
Oh, interesting. See, because what I was going to do, we're recording this, as you know, Dan, on August 11th, just shortly after the news of Robin Williams' passing. So I was going to look and see if I could find a Robin Williams movie that you hadn't seen that we could use. But sorry, Robin.
Yeah. Well, unless there's a Robin Williams movie that we both have not seen that we should see, because there's probably not so great Robin Williams movies that we haven't seen.
Right. Like Bicentennial Man, probably neither of us has seen.
Nope. Haven't seen it. I think I feel like I can give it a pass, though. I mean, maybe I'll watch it in memoriam, but I don't think we need to do an episode.
Right. I will say I've never seen The Fisher King, which is a very popular
movie.
I have seen The Fisher King,
which I do like.
Have you seen, now I'm just curious, have you seen The Birdcage?
I don't think I have seen The Birdcage. I'm familiar with it, but I don't think I've seen it.
The Birdcage, probably my favorite Robin Williams movie.
I was going to go with, I'm having trouble remembering. I have to look
Dead
up.
Poets Society.
I do love Dead Poets Society. That's probably up there. Awakenings is actually pretty good. I've never seen Good Morning Vietnam.
That's a good one, too.
Good Will Hunting, also good.
Yes.
Actually, I like a lot of his movies. Hook, Aladdin, Mrs. Doubtfire. That's it. Sorry,
Robin. That's all we like.
I feel
well,
bad.
Well, if it weren't the season finale next time, I would show you The Birdcage because it is really good.
All right.
It's really good.
Well, hold on to that one.
Okay, I will.
On. We'll come up with something and we'll have to figure out whether or not we have a special guest.
Right. Yeah. So the next episode, I was going to say next week, but our schedule's been so screwy that I don't know. But our next episode, we're going to try to bring in a special guest and we're going to try to watch a movie that none of the people involved have seen.
It's a tall order, but I think we can handle it.
I'm convinced that if any two people can pull it off, it's you and me.
And whoever the third person is, maybe not them.
Whatever.
Well, Lex, it's been a delight as always. Thank you for watching this movie with me, and I look forward to our next movie watching adventure.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing it with me, and I will watch something again soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time. To the future of toys!
They also make Dippin' Dots there.